Adel.
See the weekend. It's just there over the horizon. Can't you feel it? And Columbus Day means some of you have a three-day weekend. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney's my name. This is America Tonight. And boy, do we have a great show for you. Of course, we always think we have a good show for you, but I am particularly proud. I am particularly proud of this show because more than ever, we're going to zig and zag every which way but loose. Do you like it? That's a movie reference and a little bit obscure. Anyway, coming up in our third hour, we have Nail the Score. I got 55, I am not kidding you, I got 55 emails today asking me about Nail the Score. So that means somebody's paying attention. And that would be week 5 in the NFL. You call in, our game of the week, our randomly chosen game of the week pops up. You tell us who you think is going to win the game, what you think the final score will be. You don't have to know anything about football. Or you could love the great game of football and inhale every single piece of analysis that's out there from all of the shows leading up to Sunday. So you're probably well-versed in what's going on. But it doesn't matter. It's not about that. It is kind of like picking lottery numbers. So that's in our third hour. Coming up in our next segment, I'm excited about our guest waiting in the wings in our virtual green room, Termite Watkins. You might have heard his name. I love that name anyway. When you think termite, you automatically think, what? Exterminator. He went to Iraq. I'm going to let him tell his story. And he primed a boxer for the Iraqi team in 2004, the Olympics, and just had an incredible experience. And, of course, he was a good boxer on his own right, in his own right, rather, at one point in his career. So that had to be kind of interesting. While he was doing a job, an important job, actually, in Iraq, he also was getting a boxer ready for the biggest day of his life in 2004, which would have been, what, Athens. All right, good stuff. He's probably working out on the heavy bag right now. I think we put one in there for him. And then he was, might be drinking some of those Red Bulls. So I hope he's not going to be down for the count by the time we go to him. Speaking of down for the count, this is crazy. Of all the places to start, let's start here with the stimulus. The story that broke a couple of days ago, actually, the rumor was out there anyway, but now just officially so everybody knows, about 89,000 stimulus payments of $250 went to people who were either dead or in prison. They were part of that recovery package, remember, last year, and it was supposed to increase the consumer spending to stimulate the economy, right? So 18 mil went to 72,000 people who were dead. This is what the Social Security Administration's numbers showed. And a little more than half of those payments were returned. So I guess other people cashed them in, baby. I think I'm going to cash this in. And then $4.3 million went to 17,000 prison inmates. Most of the inmates were eligible, actually, to get the payments, though, because they were newly incarcerated and had been getting Social Security before they were locked up. So in all, if we're doing the money thing here, kind of an early version of we can count, the $250 payments were sent to about 52 million people who either get Social Security or supplemental security income at a cost of $13 billion. So inaccurate payments, of course, that's not good. And you think of Social Security and where we're at, Social Security's Recovery Act payments were 99% accurate, I guess. They say they collected the majority of the inaccurate payments, and every year they say they make payments to a small number of deceased people because they haven't gotten a report of their death at this point. I can buy that. You know, there's some creepy things that have happened where somebody dies and you find out that the son is cashing the checks or some crazy thing. So they're not going to get everybody right away. Of course not. The Inspector General for the Social Security Administration has been doing this audit deal to make sure that no checks went to ineligible people. And, you know, they know that this is just raw meat for every one of us who is so flipping mad at what's going on in Washington. Don't give us more ammunition. So based on what they found out with all the checks and the dead people who they found out about, the ones they didn't, Social Security lost $22.3 million, they say, in tax dollars. So once again, here we go. Another example of too much crazy red tape that doesn't work and pure lack of accountability. We keep coming back to the same thing. Why are we always playing catch-up? That's what happens in D.C. It's always about reaction, not action. So, yes, you're going to have some mess-ups. You're going to have some money that slips through and some deaths that aren't reported and all that stuff. But that's a crazy number, $22.3 million. I mean, come on. They got to get it together. And if they don't... two-step for very much longer. One of them is someone we've talked about a bunch, Harry Reid, after 28 years in Congress. What do you do when you've been in a job for 28 years, and if it's a power job, too? You're in that job, and then that's it. Poof, you're done. So basically, you're supposedly a public servant. Sharon Angle, though, might have gotten herself in some deep water due to some comments that she made earlier in the last couple of days, actually. So her comments either will push her over the top in some sense in the Senate race in Nevada or see her drop back a little bit. So far, she's a couple of points ahead in the latest poll. But a couple of points, you know, that means that race is too close to call. However, she got into it when she was at a rally about Muslims in the United States. She told a crowd of people that support her that the country has to address a militant terrorist situation. Okay, I think she's not in trouble there. She says that has allowed Islamic religious law to take hold in some American cities. And you can almost say, all right, so she's really talking about Islamic terrorists. That's what she's talking about. She was specifically at this teeny tiny town. I've been there before. It's called Mesquite, and it's a resort area in Nevada. And she was asked that question about Muslims, and that's how the question was asked. Are Muslims, not terrorists, not Islamic jihadists, none of that. It was really a setup question. So she was asked about Muslims angling to take over the country, and she jumped right into the middle of it because she said, look, I keep hearing about Muslims wanting to take over the U.S. On a TV program just last night, I saw that they're taking over a city in Michigan. And the residents of the city, they all want them out. They want them out. So I want to hear your thoughts about that. And then she got a little bit deeper into some of the Muslim cities, in one in Texas in particular. So it's just a matter of how her remarks, I think, are dissected. But she might have stepped right into quicksand. We're going to talk about that, talk about that later this hour. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk to Termite Watkins. You don't want to miss this one. Hang with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees. And every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
It's always a good time for a little Jimmy Brown, isn't it? Hey, everybody, welcome back to ATM with me, Kate Delaney. So thrilled about our next guest. I've heard so much about him, and, you know, I made the reference to he's probably hitting the bag there in our virtual green room, the heavy bag. I thought at one point that boxing would really get me into shape. And when I started to try to work on the bag, man, that thing popped back and knocked me right in the head. That was the end of my attempt at boxing. You can hear him laughing in the background already at me. Welcome to the show, Maurice Termite Watkins. How you doing? Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, I'm doing absolutely fantastic. And how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, my friend. Hey, before we, because there's so many directions we could go in talking to you, you're a fascinating guy, but I want to tell everybody a little bit about your background. I found out a couple of weeks ago, I didn't realize this, I was talking to a buddy who knew a lot about boxing, that you were actually on an undercard on a big Muhammad Ali fight. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, everybody looks at it as the undercard. It was actually a double main event, Muhammad Ali versus Larry Holmes. And a matter of fact, it was 30 years ago this month, the second of this month, 30 years ago, Kate, Muhammad Ali fought Larry Holmes and, of course, lost a decision. That was his last big hurrah. As a matter of fact, that was the fight, the last hurrah. And I fought Saul Mambi. I lost a 15-round decision.
Ooh, 15-round decision. And so, of course, when you're on the same in the same ring and you're billed, like you said, the way you were, you've also, there you are with Holmes and Ali. Did you get a chance to talk to either one of them after your long fight?
You know, fortunately, I was very good in boxing, and so Holmes, Larry Holmes is a very good friend of mine, and Muhammad Ali was too. Ali and I were, we won an award, I guess it was back in 79, 9, something like that, for somebody, I forgot exactly what it was, Fighter of the Year or something. And anyway, so both of them were very good friends of mine, and I came up in boxing in one of the greatest eras in history. You had the great fighters like Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, then you had the Roberto Durans and the Sugar Ray Leonards, and which at 16 I made the U.S. Olympic team. And I ended up not going to the Olympics, but there's five teams, and then that different people make these teams, and they send these teams around the world fighting, and then they have a box off at the end, and the winner, last man standing, gets to go to the Olympics. Well, I ended up turning professional, protested against the AAU. Many of you may remember that, mm-hmm. The AAU, and me and another friend of mine protested and actually got them put out of business.
Yeah, it's like the alphabet soup of boxing, no doubt. Your record was like 58-5-2, right?
Yes, ma'am. 58 wow. Wins, 5 losses, 2 draws, 48 TKOs or knockouts.
Wow, that's terrific. What drew you to boxing? How did you get into boxing as a kid?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, I was into a lot of trouble. My dad was a pretty rough old guy at the time, and what happened is that he actually come to know Christ at that time, and I kept getting wilder, and one day somebody said, Bill, you ought to get Termite into boxing. He did, and of course, as the old saying, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. I went into boxing, and I got to tell you, Kate, I was terrible. I was probably the most terrible fighter that you could ever witness, but I got a good coach, and that's a life learning, I guess you'd call it example or whatever at that. I got a good coach, and I was a good listener and a good student, and I became good, and of course at 16 made the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah, it's, wow, still such a great accomplishment, no doubt about that. So then we fast forward many years later. You do things like you're a car salesman. Obviously, you knew about pest control. So you get this call about Iraq and going to Iraq and eradicating pests. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Back in 2003, I had just come in from working all day, and that night, actually, it was in the car business, you work days and nights, and I had done very well, and I was one of the top salespeople in the U.S. in the top 2% for General Motors. But I got a phone call, and it basically kind of went like this: Termite, do you still have your pest control license? And I said, I do. Why do you ask? And they said, our military is needing pest control support in Iraq. And, Kate, I just kind of laughed. I thought to myself, yes, they do. They've got some big pests over there. And anyway, but I am a Christian, Kate, and mm-hmm. I'm real proud of that. I like to tell everybody that. And I believe that God dealt with me and spoke to me the next day, and the message that I received was that it was my time to do my part. And I came in and told my former wife, Charlotte, that I was going to Iraq, and she thought I was crazy. But isn't it an awesome message for today, though, Kate?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's all of our time to do our part.
Right. I agree with you. Absolutely. That was part of the problem with the Iraq war. The idea that it was war, I don't think, translated to a lot of people. So you get over to Iraq. What was that like for you?
It was pretty awesome. You know, first of all, feeling like it was a calling of God. I didn't know what was going to happen. I went to Iraq, and the first day in Iraq, and it was kind of amazing. What had happened is Charlotte, my former wife, had said, "What are you going to do if a general cusses you?" And I thought, why would you even ask this? Well, that first day in Iraq, I had a general cuss me. and I took a stand. You know, I'm real big about telling America, it's time to get some backbone. It's time to take a stand. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I told the general that I wasn't going to listen to him cuss me, that I didn't come there to get cussed out. I come there to support him and do my part. And I wasn't going to allow him to cuss me. And matter of fact, I even went on to tell him that if he cussed me again, we was probably going to fight, and he probably wasn't going to win. And anyway, he challenged me to get rid of a major fly problem, And I went outside and didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I went and I sat, and what I do is when I'm bothered or don't know how to solve something is I pray. And I went outside in of course, a war-torn Iraq, and I was sitting there praying, you know, Lord, what do I do? And of course, everything just started coming to me, and I ended up getting rid of this problem within 24 hours, which he'd given me 24 hours to get rid of his problem. And I did it with basically nothing. And but you see, God always gives us everything we need for our success. And I truly believe that today in America, that everything that we need for our success, God has already given us. It's all around us. If we just open our eyes, or sometimes, in my case, it was open my mouth and say, hey, I'm Termite Watkins, you know, and I would learn who they were and what they did, and it was amazing. Everybody that I needed for success was always right around me.
How many years were you in Iraq?
Kate, I was in Iraq a year and a half. What happened is I went and, you know, I took that stand against the general. But when I took that stand, I got very close with the general because he liked people that took care of business and performed well. And shortly after that, the general left. And the general had opened up a lot of doors for me to, you know, to meet the people, and I won't go in that. We'll save that for another time. But what happened, man, Mr. Mike Gofeller took over, and one day I was sitting at a table, and he walks up to me and says, hey, Termite, can I talk to you? And I made a joke about it. I said, sure. I said, I have a seat in my office. I was in a lunchroom out in the middle of a desert. And he and a man-made, it was actually a trailer had been brought up, but it was a man-made camp in the middle of a desert. And I said, what's on your mind, Mr. Gofeller? And he said, what are the odds, what are the chances of getting Iraq to the Olympics? And I shook my head and I said, you got a slim to none chance, maybe a one in a million. He said, great, let's do it. I expect you to get this done. And he said, all we need is one chance. We don't need the million. I expect you to get it done. And of course, from that point on, I started putting together an Iraqi boxing team. Didn't have much to do it with, but again, God always provides everything and everybody we need for our success. And I tell everybody, I keep repeating that because there's a lot of people that are having problems right now. There's a lot of people that are down. There's a lot of people that maybe you're having negative attitudes, and really everything that we need for our success is always right around us. Sometimes we got to look for it. Sometimes we got to reach out and shake hands and say, hey, my name is Termite Watkins, and you're who?
Right.
But they're always right around us.
Right. Termite, can you hang through? We're going to finish this up on the flip side because we're just so curious about the boxer and what happened in the Olympics. We'll be back in just a second here on America Tonight.
Buy the case or buy the pallet. Sapaco's SurePak MREs are the most well-balanced, great-tasting meals ready to eat available at MyersCustomSupply.com. Sapaco's SurePak MREs are great for any situation. Come with or without flameless ration heaters, are easy to transport, and easy to store with a 3 to 5 year shelf life. And you can buy just a case or an entire pallet. Either way, Sapaco's SurePak MREs are ready to eat hot or cold. Experience superior customer service from the number one Sapaco supplier that's been in business since 1997. When you order your Sapaco SurePak MREs from MyersCustomSupply.com, get fast free shipping and 5% off your total order by using promo code GCN5 at checkout. Call 1-800-451-6105 or visit MyersCustomSupply.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R-S CustomSupply.com or call 800-451-6105. For the lowest prices on the internet, visit MyersCustomSupply.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a 1-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Just what emergencies do I need to be prepared for?
Terrorism, economic collapse, or the overdue big quake? The immediate time frame after any disaster when you may be on your own is critical. That's why you need a 72-hour kit from SurvivalSolutions.com. Our 72-hour kits have been researched, tried, and tested for 3-day survival. 72-hour emergency kits from SurvivalSolutions.com provide 114 essential items, including food, water, light, shelter and warmth, cooking, first aid, sanitation, and communication. Just add your personal items, clothing, and important papers, and you're ready for any emergency. That's 114 essential life-sustaining items. Order now and get a free Millennium Food Bar with each 72-hour kit purchase. Call 801-965-0777 or go to SurvivalSolutions.com. That's 801-965-0777 or SurvivalSolutions.com, home of the complete 72-hour emergency kit.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and
all right, we're talking with Termite Watkins about his time in Iraq and also the fact that he was called upon in a very big way as a man who certainly knew his prowess inside a ring and was a terrific boxer, a great boxer, and now has a chance to try to get somebody into the Olympics to really coach someone and work with them, and that had to be a crazy, crazy time. Termite, so as we go through the story, you were telling us about being asked to get a team ready or get somebody ready to compete in the 2004 Olympics. At first, when you heard that request, did your jaw kind of hit the floor a little bit, or what did you think?
You know, it did. It was surprising, and I'm a very positive person, but I really thought, you know, he had a 1 in a million chance. We're out in the middle of a desert, and they just challenged me to get Iraq to the Olympics. It hadn't been in some approximately 35 years, and so that's when the challenge started, and we started working towards getting him there. Had a whole lot of no's turned down, you know, getting him into the Olympics. I believe it was about 60 days straight that they told me no, but they finally said yes on that one day. And then, of course, you know, getting them from Iraq. Actually, the one boxer got to go. I also got to take the soccer players and I took the whole country. I personally trained the boxer. And Kate, if I may say, before we run out of time, I just want to tell you that we did get the fighter there to the Olympics, and it's just an awesome story. My website is being worked on right now. It's termitewatkins.com. But if anybody would like to get a hold of me, you can call my agency or actually contact my agency by going to BurnettConsultingGroup.com. I speak all over the country. It's a powerful story. It's a story about overcoming. And of course, in this day and time, we need to that's what we need to hear is things about overcoming. BurnettConsultingGroup.com. And one last thing, Kate, if I can tell, there's a book out on the story. There's been a movie script written on the story, and we're trying to put this thing together right now. And so hopefully next time we come on here, we'll be talking about when we're going to do that movie.
Yeah, no kidding. So tell us about the fighter that you got to the Olympics, and he actually got a chance to fight.
Yes, ma'am. We had three qualifiers that we went to. And what it was, if we could win one of the tournaments or get runner-up, that would give us an opportunity to go to the Olympics. And what happened is that, of course, we had a guy named Anwar Chowdhury that just really controlled the International Olympic Committee in boxing, and he literally threatened my life and made it real hard, and I wouldn't do certain things for him, and so we wasn't winning the fights. And it went completely through going to the Philippines and then to China, then to Pakistan, and we didn't win any of these fights. But I had raised so much ruckus because we were getting bad decisions, and it was just terrible, and it was time to take a stand, and I took a big enough stand that made a big enough ruckus that we ended up getting not only to take the one fighter, which was Najah Ali, to the Olympics, but I ended up getting to take the whole country to the Olympics.
Wow, what was that like when you arrived, when you get from all that you had to go through in the desert and in Iraq and all that stuff, and then boom, there you are? Because that was 2004. That was Athens, right?
Yes, ma'am. It was in Athens, Greece, and it was awesome. You know, to be able to go in 10 months from not even having a boxing team to putting together a boxing team and letting them box in Iraq under conditions that were pretty tough, you know, getting shot at and bombed and athletes getting killed because they were messing with us, and people got killed because they were messing with the coalition. But to get them from not being able to go to being able to go to the Olympics was just an awesome, awesome experience.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I'm sure one you'll never forget. How about the people in Iraq? I talk about this all the time. What did you find in the year and a half that you were there? What were the people like?
You know, the people were wonderful. You hear how bad Iraq is. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to tell you, Iraq is wonderful, and you're going to see a lot of great things happening. Now, did it have some bad people? Yes, it did. I would say about 10% of the people were bad people and didn't like us, but the other 90% loved us, and they love us right now. There's a lot of great things that happened in Iraq. There's a lot of great things happening in Iraq, and I've went around the world telling people that we did good. We did a very good thing in Iraq, and if we weren't here, Kate, this is something that I heard with my own ears. If we weren't here, the insurgents, the bad guys, the Al-Qaeda would have been here. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, wonder, did we do the right thing by going over there? Yes, we did. We did the right thing. If we wouldn't have been there, they would have been here.
All right, what a way to end this. This is terrific. Good luck with the book, certainly, but turning it into a movie. Your story is something else, Termite, I'll tell you that. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Kate. And again, if I go and speak all over the country, if anybody would like to contact me, please go to BurnettConsultingGroup.com. That's my agency, and I would love to come and tell my story. Guarantee you'll get them pumped up. Guarantee you it'll get them realizing that you can overcome anything in life that you want. Hey, God bless everybody out there in your listening audience, and God bless you, Kate.
Same back to you, Termite. Thanks. We appreciate the time. Again, interesting story, and I think it would make boy, a fascinating film if that does come to be. It gets optioned and goes on further from there, because can you just imagine trying to get a boxer into the Olympics in the middle of a war? What other kind of obstacles could you have? Think of the heat. Think of what they would actually have to go through in that training. And to get there is something else. And the fighter, of course, that he mentioned went and fought and lost his fight. But still, he was there. And I think that was an incredible accomplishment. In fact, if you remember back to 2004, there were a lot of feature stories done. I want to say NBC has the rights, so NBC did a bunch of different stories on it. All right, fast forwarding to what is going on now in the Middle East, a couple of quick things, a couple of quick notes for you. One, the Israeli planes that hit some terror targets were responding to rocket fire. There was a lot of commotion over this earlier in the day, but their Air Force hit two targets in northern Gaza overnight. And again, this was responding to rocket fire from the Palestinian territory. So here we go. Pandora's box ripped open, but it has been. There's no information on casualties, any of that kind of stuff. The military in Israel says that about 160 rockets and mortars were fired at Israel so far this year. More than 440 rockets were fired from Gaza into Israel since the end of Operation Cast Lead. That's what it was called. It was Israel's three-weeker, their offense in Gaza that started way back, if you remember. I know we were talking about this on the air. In fact, we had somebody on. It was way back in December of 2008. You know, this idea that there's going to be this peace situation. See, this, we go back to the same problem. You go back to pieces of land, history, hard feelings, and how do you compromise? This is why you saw that whole peace accord idea kind of fall in like a fillet, not a fillet, like a souffle, right in the middle. It just, boom, went backwards, kind of imploded on itself. And certainly anybody who's president is going to try to do that, but now more than ever you can feel that tension. You can tell it. You can hear it in the voice of, when he's calm, Benjamin Netanyahu, and you can certainly hear it when it comes to the Palestinians, too. So I don't know if anything's going to ultimately come out of that. All right, in the meantime, remember all this terror alert stuff. One thing I didn't mention on the air, I wanted to make sure that she got back safely. My mother, of all things, was traveling in Europe. It was one of those situations, save a trip for the lifetime. She goes to Italy, and she's traveling around, and then this terror alert comes up. And she said the Rome airport had maybe some more people around, but meaning more armed people, let's say, polizia. But other than that, there wasn't a big widespread panic, because she was, I think, right at the tail end. It was right when the terror alert was there, so she was there when it was happening, but she didn't notice anything other than that. And, of course, I think the bigger fear was for France and for England, even though all of Europe was supposedly the target, the ultimate target. So a jihadist from Hamburg, suspected of being part of an al-Qaeda plot against Europe that I'm just mentioned, was killed by a drone strike earlier this week, and that was on a jihadist website. The website said a fighter named Abu Askar Alamani and three other jihadists had been martyred by the missile strike against a base where German and other fighters were living. So earlier in the week, remember, Pakistan said that a drone strike had killed five German militants, so they believed that that was part of that whole bigger European plot. And bravo for hitting the target is what I would say, because the attacks that they were planning, and who knows where it goes from here, but certainly the attacks were supposed to be much like what happened in Mumbai in 2008, kind of an open fire on innocents. and too many people were killed then, and that could have been incredibly bloody and an incredible loss of life if they had succeeded in it. But hey, the drone was able to take out some of the major players. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Get beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised.
All right, dive right into the deep end of odds and ends. So we've told you at the top about the crazy stimulus, and when I say crazy stimulus, the money that was basically thrown out the window in the stimulus, where some of it mysteriously disappeared, some of it went to dead people. Some of it pretty much was spoken for and recovered, and then millions of it is just lost in the sauce, which once again goes into the black hole of what happened. I don't understand. It's interesting. We're just talking with Termite there about Iraq, and he mentioned, I'm glad he said it, that he got that feeling from the people that, geez, we needed to be here because X, Y, and Z, right? And one of the things, of course, that's come out in the aftermath of Iraq is all the lost funds for the so-called rebuilding effort, like $50 billion just poof, gone. Now you see it, now you don't. Somebody has a nice vacation home somewhere. Well, it's kind of like that with the stimulus, only there's not a billion attached to it, it's millions instead, and in the 20 millions. So a little bit of a difference, but missing money nonetheless. So that would be part of odds and ends because we have no idea what the end of that story is. Okay, here's the other thing that we wanted to bring up right at the top, the so-called deep end of odds and ends. This is unbelievable. Do you remember the story about the money man who faked his death, but really what he was doing, he stole millions and millions of dollars, but what he was really doing was living high off the hog. He had an incredible lifestyle. So he was an Indianapolis money dude who admitted trying to fake his death in a Florida plane crash. You know how much he got? He got 10 years in prison on securities fraud charges. 10 years. So he agreed to the 10-year prison term when he pled guilty last month to stealing all that money to finance his life. He parachuted out of a plane, and then he let it crash. That happened last January. And the judge in this case said the 10-year term runs consecutively with a 4-year federal sentence that stems from that same plane crash. Oh, gee. And where do you think some of the money is? I think it's probably hidden somewhere. So kind of a good deal for him, I think. He's a daredevil pilot. He stole tons of money from people. He used it to buy luxury cars. He had a 10,000-square-foot house in a very posh neighborhood in Indianapolis. You know what the neighborhood was called? Cocktail Cove. Yeah, Cocktail Cove. It was such an affluent area that what would happen is the cocktails pretty much flowed nonstop, almost like it was a resort. That's how it got that nickname. So it was really 9 clients, some friends, and even his own aunt. He took money from his own aunt. They thought they were investing in a foreign currency fund that is non-existent. But then the scheme starts to unravel when the economy took a nosedive and people wanted their cash, just like Bernie Madoff. Madoff now says nasty things from prison about, well, those people, they made money. Right. They didn't make any money. It was fake money. So in this case, same thing. It was just a fake deal. And because people needed the money, that's when the jig was up. And that's when he decided to, out of desperation, crash a plane and parachute out of that plane. He pointed the plane toward the Gulf of Mexico. The plane ran out of fuel. The plane crashed in the Florida panhandle. And he went into Alabama. He was found a couple of days later at a campground bleeding of what they thought was a self-inflicted wrist slash. So he's going to jail for a while. And the claims against him, just crazy. No doubt that the wife left him after that. She had no clue that he was doing what he was doing. Do you think it's no clue or closed eyes? I really like boating. I really like sipping all these cocktails and playing tennis and flying around all over the place. So maybe I'm not going to ask about the business. It seems strange to me, the money flow, but I'm going to just let it go for now. I'm just saying, I'm just thinking out loud. At least they caught him. Because if they hadn't caught him, imagine the anger from the people who knew him over the fact that, that he just basically bailed on them and then, mysteriously had this plane crash. Yeah, I don't think so. I keep telling you about the foreclosure deal, and we've had probably now 10 different people on, from realtors to construction folks to specifically mortgage people, to talk about what's going on in the home world, whether it's new homes, new home construction, selling homes, losing homes, what's going on. Because this is part of the mess that continues to thrive, unfortunately, in this country, thanks to the greed is good among those who were just pushing the houses forward. More arms. What do you do for a living? Oh, you're an astronaut? Terrific. I had to give blood. I had to give blood when I got a house. I had to answer 50,000 questions. It was crazy. But, of course, I was part of the aftermath of that. Okay, so the foreclosure deal. Now, pretty much what the analysts in the know are saying anyway is the foreclosure mess will probably last for years because the paperwork problems, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits, there's going to be a lot of investigations, and J.P. Morgan is right in square. Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase is in the middle of this, Ally Financial, they've got homeowner lawsuits and claims of falsified mortgage documents and procedural mistakes in handling the mortgage docs, all kinds of things. You know, the faucet is still running. Nobody has turned it off. In fact, there's been delayed foreclosures in 23 states where the courts have jurisdiction, rather, over any of the home seizures. Bank of America, remember this blunder? They suspended foreclosures, too, because they got problems with documents. So this is going to drag on for at least another, I think it's going to be drag on for at least another 3 years. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I would love it if I was completely wrong on this. But with the lenders and loan services and the civil lawsuits that were are aimed toward proving deceptive sales practices or even the violations of consumer protection laws, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be even bigger than you can imagine. It's just a mountain of a mess. It's crazy how bad it is out there. And I said 23 states, so then you start to think about this, and you've got the Justice Department studying foreclosures. So I think that if we see this cleared up in 2 years, then call it lucky. But whether it's from Illinois all the way down to Mississippi, you can pick a neighborhood and just, as I said before, drive around. You'll get a real sense of what's happened on both ends of this spectrum, the high end and the lower end, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't look for this to end. There isn't any odds and ends. There's no end to this anytime soon. There is not an end to this. All right, and our last one here quickly is the healthcare law and the courts. The people that are against what's going on with health insurance reform, because that's really what it is. A judge ruled that Congress can require people to buy health insurance by 2014. This federal judge on Thursday in Detroit rejected an attempt to stop some of the key provisions of the new national healthcare law, saying, yeah, Congress has the authority to require people to get that insurance. So the ruling, this is the first in a challenge to Obama's healthcare overhaul, came in a lawsuit that was filed in Michigan by a Christian legal group, the Thomas More Law Center. They were one of the first, and four people who claimed lawmakers exceeded their power under the Constitutional Commerce Clause. So it's a no-go here. It's a loss for them and a win for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. If you have any thoughts, remember, you can always send them to me at americatonight.net.